Revelation chapter 21 this afternoon, and I have a question for you. The question is this:
do you really want to go to heaven?
Do you really want to go to heaven? There in Revelation chapter 21, begin reading in there in verse number 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at that gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." We can go on and continue reading there in chapter 21 and into chapter 22, and it's going to give us a brief glimpse of heaven. But do you really want to go to heaven? That's the question. Do you really want to go to heaven? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you, Lord, and I do need you. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with me now. I pray, Lord, you use me, fill me with your Spirit here. Give me your words to speak here today as we look at your word and get some truth here in your word. Lord, speak to the hearts of those here today and do what only you can do. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Satan is our enemy, right? We know that. Satan has deceived the world into believing that death is a long way off. Death is way out there in the future. And even when I do die, someday, long way in the future, God wouldn't send me to hell, would He? I mean, all roads lead to heaven, right? What a lie. That's a lie. The lie of the devil. It's a deception from the devil. Let me tell you this. Eternity is closer now than it ever was before. You get that? Eternity is closer now than it ever was before, and that is a fact. It's either eternity by way of the rapture or eternity by the way of death. But either way, life is short, death is certain, and eternity is coming for every single one of us. And eternity is forever. Forever and ever. There's only two possible eternal destinations that a person can go to. There is a literal burning and eternal hell. In hell, let me tell you this, hell wasn't prepared for people. Hell wasn't prepared for man nor for woman. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angel in Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Right? It wasn't prepared for you and I. Hell is a prepared place for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:18, the Bible says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The good news is, nobody has to go to that place. The good news is, nobody has to go to hell. The good news is that Christ paid it all on the cross of Calvary, so that you wouldn't have to go there. You could go to the literal, wonderful, eternal home of Jesus, the home of God called heaven, if you choose. If you choose it. Right? You have to choose to go there. You see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. In Hebrews 11:16, the Bible says, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." He hath prepared for them a city for those that love Him. Heaven is a wonderful place that God has prepared. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." We can't even imagine. Our minds are so weak and so little compared to God and Almighty God and in His creation. And to think that what He has waiting for us in heaven, we can't even imagine the mansion that's in heaven waiting for us. We can't imagine it. But there's so many people, especially nowadays, that's been deceived. The devil has deceived so many, and the Bible gives us warning, be not deceived, do not be deceived over and over again. But so many people are deceived about salvation. So many people are deceived about religion and hell and heaven, and so many churches don't even mention hell anymore. They've been deceived. It's a scary thought that people would be in a building and they wouldn't even tell them the warning, right? We could go out here on this road out here, Ivy Drive or Eisenhower, whatever road, we can get out here on 75 or 465, and we can get out there and we could say there's danger ahead. The road is going to come to an end, and we'd put signs and we'd put markers and we'd put policemen, and we would jump out of our cars and wave, "Don't come anymore, don't come anymore, warning. Warning, the road is broke, it's out of order, stop." But when you come to a place where the gospel should be preached and the dangers of heaven and hell should be preached, so many places don't even talk about it anymore. I talked to somebody, a guy, and he says, "You know, heaven to me is this." He says, "Heaven, when I die and I go to heaven, I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to sit around the old table with my biker buddies, and we're going to be on our old Harley Davidsons hanging out. We're going to be drinking beer, and it's going to be a big reunion and a great time, and everybody that's going to come, they're going to be there, right?" But that's not heaven. That's not salvation. That's not heaven. That's deception. That's a lie of the devil. So my question, do you really want to go to heaven? Most people who think they will be in heaven would actually hate it. Most people who think they would be in heaven would actually hate it. And the truth of the matter is, if they were to hate it, then they probably wouldn't be there anyway. Because you see, God's people, the truly born again, truly saved, truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you see, we are longing for that place. We are longing to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We are longing not to be a part of this wicked and evil world anymore. We are looking for that place that has nothing to do with the evil of this world. We are looking for that pure, holy city. That new city. That's the new city where there's no sin in that city. Right? No sin. Where there's no effects of sin. Where there's no death. Where there's no getting old. Where there's no ailments, where there's no decrepit bodies falling apart anymore. Hey, we are longing to see the face of Jesus Christ, right? We are longing for that home in heaven. I am. I don't know about y'all, but I am. So the question is, do you want to go to heaven? Number one, do you want to go to heaven because heaven is a place of holiness? If you look there at Revelation chapter 21, the first two verses, heaven is a place of holiness. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Hey, the heaven and earth that we know, this earth that we live in, the earth that we know is going to pass away one day. Not from global warming, okay? Not from climate change. Not from too many plastic bottles going into the ocean. No, God will destroy this earth in His time when He's ready, and it won't happen until then. It will not happen until at least 1,007 years after the rapture. You see, we still got to have the rapture and the 7-year tribulation, and then after that, we got to have the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. That's 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will reign with the saved saints, reign on this earth 1,000 years, and then after that, He will destroy this earth, and a new heaven and a new earth will come. What will that city be like? That holy city, the Bible says, but it's indescribable. We can't describe it. How could anybody describe the city of God? How could anybody? I mean, we look at the universe. We look at all the stars and the billions of stars and the vastness and the... It's like endless, right? It's endless, the universe, right? But really, we can't describe it, but heaven is so much greater. The new heaven, the new earth is so much greater. But remember, God created all that. He created all that. But you know what? Heaven will be a place of holiness. Heaven will be a place of holiness. There's not going to be any more liquor stores there, right? There's not going to be any more effects from drunk driving, any more effects from suicide and rape and murder and all those things, the neglect of the children and all those things from liquor. That's not going to be there, right? There's not going to be any more pornography there in the holy city, right? Sex sells here, right? In this world, in this economy, in the football games, and this and that, but not in heaven. Heaven is a place of holiness. Hey, look, there'll be no more drugs. There'll be no more drugs. And there'll be no more prescription drugs either. You won't need them, right? No more prescription drugs, no more drugs, no more cursing, no more dirty jokes, no more of anything of that. Why? Because heaven is a place of holiness. Revelation 21, look at verse 27 there. Look at verse 27. Heaven is a place of holiness. In Revelation 21, verse 27 says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Hey, only the saved, right? You get saved, your name's in the Lamb's book of life. You're saved for all of eternity. Your name cannot be blotted out. You're saved. You can't lose your salvation. You have eternal life, right? We are sinners, but by God's grace, He died on the cross. His blood cleansed us of our sin. We've been forgiven, right? Those that have sinned, that have not gotten forgiveness of their sin, cannot enter into heaven. No sin can enter into heaven. Why? Because it's a place of holiness. It's a perfect place. It's a perfect place because God made it perfect. He made it perfect. Look there in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Hey, remember, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. Right? We love Him because He first loved us. And how do you know that you love Him? You keep His commandments. He says in verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Hey, listen, heaven is a holy place. It's a place of holiness, and there's a dividing factor there. From the inside to the outside, right? He says, the tree that blessed are they that do his commandments, that you may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. But outside, right, all outside, those are all those sinners, those that never came to the Lord Jesus Christ. All I'm saying is heaven is a place of holiness. Heaven is a place of holiness. And why? Because that's who God is. God is holy. He is holy. Now, we don't understand that totally. We don't. It's impossible to understand it because we know the definition. Holy is to be set apart, right? Holy is to be separated, right? So in our aspect, we use the word holy as separated from the world, separated unto God, right? But you know what? In heaven, it's a place of holiness, and there'll be no more football games. Right, we got football games Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and the list goes on and on. Every week in college football stadiums, many of them hold over 100,000 fans. It's crazy. 100,000 fans all in one place, screaming at the top of their lungs. But on Sunday morning, the church is empty. The church that preaches the gospel, that opens the Bible, that tells you how to live a holy life, a separated life, how to get to heaven, how to avoid going to hell. The church that teaches that, the church is empty. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up, does it? The devil is in full control and has deceived so many people. Turn over to Psalms, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Heaven is a place of holiness. No more sin. No more effects of sin. No more death. We know the wages of sin is death. That's why we die here in this world, in this earth, because of sin. But heaven is a place of holiness. In Psalm 27, verse number 4, the Bible says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And get this, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. What is that beauty of the Lord? The beauty of the Lord is His holiness. It's His holiness. It's His holiness. In Psalm 96:9, the Bible says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's His beauty, holiness. Holiness, right? We want to talk about God's love. We want to talk about God's grace, which is amazing things. Those are awesome things. But before we can understand God's love and God's grace, we have to understand His holiness. He is holy, right? Out of love, He put Jesus on the cross, but it was because of His holiness. He could not endure or look upon sin. He is holy. Heaven is a place of holiness. And 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The question was, do you really want to go to heaven? Because in heaven, it will be a place of holiness. Let me give you another one here. Heaven will be a place of worship. Heaven will be a place of worship. If you could turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Heaven will be a place of worship in Isaiah chapter 6. We'll look there, starting at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 6, looking at heaven is a place of worship. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1, says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, get this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hey, look, that's what's going on in heaven. Worship, worship. That's what we're going to be doing. Worshiping. Holy, holy, holy. Hey, listen, there's going to be shouting. There's going to be glory. There's going to be singing. There's going to be worship. There's going to be honor. Does that sound like fun to anybody? Does that sound like fun? But you know what? To a whole lot of people, that doesn't sound like much fun, does it? That doesn't sound like much fun. But hey, heaven is going to be about shouting and worshiping and praising the Lord and saying, holy, holy, holy. But here's another thing too, right? Heaven isn't about you and I. Heaven isn't about our feelings or our thoughts or this or that. Heaven is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy. See, heaven will be about the truly born again in heaven, in the very presence of God, and we will worship Him. You notice there that they had two wings, covered their faces, that they weren't even worthy to look upon God. The other two they had covered their feet, right? They were not worthy to stand before God. And the other two wings, they flew about the throne of God, proclaiming the holiness. Holy, 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 right? And they worshiped Him. Hey, that's what's going on in heaven. Are you sure you want to go to heaven? There's going to be a place of worship. There we find the similar verse there, Revelation 4. Verse 8 says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Heaven is a place of worship. Imagine the worship service that'll be. Imagine that. Shouting and glorifying and praising, holy, holy, holy. Now in our day, in our church age, and we do we have a lot of services called worship service, right? But not a whole lot of worship goes on in a lot of those, right? We use phrases such as "come worship with us" or "worship with us" when the reality is there's really no worship at all taking place. You see, a person, a church, you can come to God's house, you can pray, you can read the scripture. You can give your tithes, you can sing hymns and specials, and you can shake hands and fellowship, and you can preach, and you can give an invitation, and you can go ahead and leave and never worship. Right? All those things can take place without true worship. Right? The only reason we worship God is because He is worthy. Not because we get something from it. It's not about what I can get out of it. You know, I've met people and said, "Well, what's in it for me? If I come to your church, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me?" It's not about us. We worship Him because He is worthy. He is worthy. And to experience worship, you must be willing to pay the price to worship. You must be willing to pay the price. Well, what's the price? Well, worshiping the Lord Jesus must be done in spirit and in truth. Right? We don't get to pick and choose how we want to worship. We have to worship Him the way He says. The how He says to do it, right? If we're going to worship Him, worship must be done His way. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, true worship is going to bring about a change in your life. It will bring a change in your life. You see, ordinary Christians, they just want to be spectators. Spectators, right? They want to sit on the sidelines. Don't ruffle my feathers. Don't ask me to do anything. Don't expect me to do anything. Just be content with me coming to church, right? I'm never going to experience worship. I'm just going to sit here, right? You're never going to experience worship that way. So here's an illustration. Let's say you're at one of those football stadiums like the University of Georgia, where it's packed out with 100 million or 100,000 people there, and you're seated down at the end zone area, and there the announcer gets over the announcement, the PA system, and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're honored to have the President of the United States, Donald Trump, in the house today. He is seated on the 50-yard line, down around row number 1 and seat number 10, whatever, right? Now you are aware of where he's at, but you might as well be a million miles away, 1,000 miles away, because you can't feel him. You don't know his presence. You know about where he's at, but you cannot feel his presence. And what I'm saying is, Just an awareness of God is not worship. Just knowing that about Him or knowing that the President is there does absolutely nothing, right? Just knowing that this is the Lord's house does absolutely nothing, right? Worship is more than that. Worship is to be overpowered by the awesomeness and presence of God. You know He is present. You know He's in the midst of your church. You know He is in the midst of your music, in the midst of His of the preaching, and He's in the midst of your fellowship. He is there. He is present in your service. You know it. It's kind of like you become afraid to utter or even move for fear of disturbing the holiness of God. And what that means here is you see the bigness of God and you say, woe is me. Woe is me in the presence of His holiness. Woe is me. That is the kind of worship that's going to be taking place in heaven, right? Hey, do you want to go to heaven? Heaven is a place of worship. But the third thing that heaven is going to be is a place of service. A place of service. Turn back to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7. Look there at verse 15. Heaven is a place of service. Revelation 7, verse 15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Hey, in heaven, we are going to serve God day and night. Remember, holy, holy, holy. And you hear what? There will be no excuses. No excuses. There will be no 80-20 rule. There will be no 90-10 rule. Everyone will serve God on a continual basis. There will be no excuses. There will be no lackadaisical, nothing of that. Everybody will serve God. You ever wonder why God has allowed us to be born into this world, to live in this time, to take up space and to eat here on God's earth and to breathe His air? You ever wonder that? Does He have a purpose for me? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are we alive in this generation? Right? It may be that God has brought you to this place, this time, for a very special part of His eternal will, for such a time as this. Right? For such a time as this. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. And get this, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Right? And so as we looked at this morning, standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, we will give an account of our lives. Our works will be put on and through the fire. Right? What's going to be left? Is it going to burn up? Or will there be rewards left for us? You see, I've heard people say, it's just a little sin. It's my sin. It's nobody else's business. No. You see, God cares about that. Whether we live, whether we die, whatever we do it for the Lord. We are the Lord's. We belong to Him. We give an account to Him. Hey, listen, heaven is going to be a place of service. Service. And that's why we need to serve Him today. Might as well just start serving Him today and just start serving Him. Hey, God didn't save us. When we got saved, if the whole point in this was just to get saved, to get to heaven, He would have saved us and taken us to heaven, right? But He didn't, right? He left us here. He gave us the Great Commission. He told us what we're to do. Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel, right? We're to go out there to the lost and dying world and tell people how to get to heaven. That's what we're to do. We're to serve Him. But hey, there's lots of other ways we need to serve Him too, right? Soul winning, bus visitation, piano. I know I mentioned these earlier. Piano, leading songs, driving the bus, right? Cleaning the building, right? All these things we can serve Him today, right? Some people say, well, I just can't do those things. Well, you know what you can do? You can pray, right? You can always pray. Praying is great. We need prayers, right? You can always pray. Let me give you a fourth one here. Heaven will be a place of assembly. All right? So not only is it a place of holiness and worship, it's also going to be a place of assembly. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 2. Heaven will be a place of assembly. Acts chapter 2, going to start in verse 42. Read a few verses here in Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 42, looking at heaven being a place of assembly. They're going to assemble. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Right? They continued. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." Hey, they were all together. All things in common. They were in one accord. Verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." In verse 46, "And they," those that are saved, those of the church, "continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Hey, the early church assembled every day. They assembled. They got together. There wasn't any bitterness and quarreling and bickering. They were in one accord. They were in one accord, and they went from house to house to house, and they even sold their goods and their possessions to use for the church to go and get the gospel out. Right? They were in one accord. They assembled. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. In heaven, it's going to be about assembly. Right? Here on earth, hey, the churches want to assemble less and less. In these days, they assembled every day, and now churches want to cut their assembling times. They want to cut the service times. Right, each service they want to cut, they want to do without, right? And they want to say, "Well, it's a lack of interest." Well, there's the old question that goes like this: if everyone went to church as often as you go to church, how often would the church doors be open? How often would they be open? And that brings us to one of our favorite verses, because I go to it every week almost. It seems like Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach." Hey, that is a command, right? We're not to forsake the assembling. We are to assemble when the doors open. We are to assemble. The church assembles. That's part of assembling, right? Soul winning, bus visitation. The church is assembling. You're to be here. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday evening. Oh, but preacher, that's just so much church. The early church met every day. And look at the revivals that they had. They went out and preached and 3,000 were saved. Right? We wonder why nothing gets done today. There's no power. There's no revivals in our day, time and day that we have today. Why? Why? Because the churches are meeting less and less and less because the world has got a grip on them. The devil's got a grip on the world. The devil's got a grip on the church. Jesus Christ isn't in the midst of the church. Right? Because the church has brought all of the world into the church. It's to be separate. Separate. A fine line. Separate. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." He's serious about His Word. In times that are coming up, in times of heaven, it's going to be a time of worship. Right? Time of worship. Those excuses that we use, it's not going to fly with the Lord. When we stand before Him at that judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to matter. Those excuses aren't going to matter. He's not going to buy it. Psalm 23, it's a great psalm. Let's turn to it. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Great psalm. Psalm 23. Psalm of David. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And get this, "and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hey, do you really want to go to heaven? It's a place of holiness. It's a place of worship. Do you really want to go to heaven? Let me give you a last thing here briefly. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you going? Are you going? Do you know for sure you're going? In John chapter 14, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's a glorious promise. Jesus says, "Hey, I am going to the cross of Calvary. I am going to die on that cross of Calvary." The disciples do not understand what's taking place, right? But Jesus is telling them, "I am going to the cross. You cannot come with me. I have to do this on my own. I am the one that was sent here to die on that cross. It is me that I have to go, but I am going, and when I go, I'm going to die, but I'm coming again. I'm coming again to receive you, that where I am, there you will be also." Listen, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There's a man who had this dream. He dreamed one time that he stood outside the gates of heaven, and he saw people trying to get in, and one man knocked at the gate, and the voice said, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" The man said, "I'm a humanitarian." And he said, "What is the password?" He said, "The password is charity." The voice within said, "Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you." Another man knocked, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? What is the password?" He said, "I am a moral man." "What is the password into heaven?" he said, "It is honesty." The voice said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." There was another knock. "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" he said. He says, "I'm a religious man." "Well, what is the password?" he said. "Rituals." The voice said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Finally, one came and knocked at the gate of heaven in this dream, and he said, "Who is it that seeks entrance into heaven? And what is the password?" And the man said, "In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." And the voice within said, "Open wide the gate and let him in, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Hey, nothing, no works, no good works, nothing is going to get you to heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come to the cross of Calvary? Have you repented of your sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you do that today. He'll save you today. That's a glorious promise. And you have a mansion waiting in heaven. The Christian, does the thought of being in a place of holiness constrict you? Does it burden you? Does the thought of worshiping constantly bore you? What about the thought of assembling? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really want to go to heaven? Because heaven is a place of holiness. Heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is a place of assembling. Heaven is a place of service. You see, heaven is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me nor you. And you know what we'll be doing there? We'll be worshiping Him. And I can't wait to get there. Let's pray.